Welcome back to the Challenge Ride or Die to wrap up podcast for episode 7. I am Brian Cohn. With me, as always, is my co-host, Allager. How are you?
Feeling full. How are you?
I think we're just talking about the challenge episode. That was a full feast we just had right there.
Was it?
What? No! Oh my god, I thought that was a great episode.
Oh my god, I thought the recording stopped or something. I was like, why are you so upset? Interesting. Well, we'll talk about it. But just to let people know why I sound like I'm moving through quicksand, it is 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving. So just to level set where we are. Happy Thanksgiving. How was your holiday?
Holiday was great. Great meal. Had a little bit of leftovers, had a little bit of dessert. And if one of us falls asleep midway through, it's blaming on the tryptophan. Whatever it's called.
I would blame it on the booze, but maybe that's just on my end of this picture. No, wait, you already had leftovers?
I had a little bit of nosh. We ate like at 5 o'clock, so then I had, right before I had a couple of cookies, dessert thing, I had a little bit of nosh from the fridge. I did like a full platter, just like a little bit of snacks, a little bit.
Work, love it. I love that.
Yeah.
I just do want to say before you get into your favorite episode of the season, apparently, which I'm thrilled that you're mustering the energy to be jazzed about. We plugged the interview with Sydney Buxbaum about the book on the challenge bible. It's not what it's called. It's called How to Win at the Challenge and at Life, right?
That's right.
But we plugged that interview before I had listened to the interview, so now I come back a listener of the interview, and I just want to say again, as a listener, phenomenal interview. Everyone should check it out. Hear about what's going on in the book, about the interviews, some fun behind the scenes tidbits about it. And you guys really broke down like all stars and the seasons, and you know, it goes much beyond the book. So I was a great listen. Everyone should check it out.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes. And it was great. A lot of cool insights. Definitely check it out. It was a video podcast as well. So if you go to the Robinson website or Robinson podcast YouTube channel, it'll be there as well. So you could see, Sydney's beautiful face and my face. So you can see us both there.
Okay. That was weird.
I don't know. I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to keep compliments. I don't know how to play.
It's true. It's accurate. But this is professional.
Yeah. Right? Okay, but back to this episode, because I'm glad you didn't see my Twitter, because I not only declared this like my favorite episode of the season, I said this is one of my favorite episodes in years. Like, I thought this was an incredible challenge episode, and I think it's been a fantastic season. So I'm all 10 out of 10 right now.
Look, I think it's been a great season. I think you and I have been higher on this season than the audience seems to be the polls I can get. We've talked about that. I didn't dislike the episode, and I think it was so necessary. It's like now we're really seeing where people's, you know, the four man or four team draw is really causing people to make decisions this week that they haven't had to previously make. And that was really interesting. I think there was a lot of dead air on random background that we should have had by now. So I did feel like it dragged slightly, and the challenge I think dragged. Otherwise, I'm not out here hating this episode. I'm thrilled that you're high on it. It was definitely, we got to a really interesting place, and I think we have a lot to discuss, and it's definitely setting the stage for an interesting back half of the season.
Yeah, I think just for me, we've gone through so much low lights, like the reality TV, where things get dark and personal, and we want people removed from the ether because of how horrible they are. And this was just such a perfect episode of everything that happened here is just reality TV competition based, right? There was no one dragging people to their core. There was no vicious insult. It was people being betrayed, people manipulating, but all in the confines of this game and the show, and to do what they think is the best for their chances to win. And that's all I want from these type of shows. I want people to give their full effort, really try to deceit, do all this stuff, but keep it PG for a matter of speaking. And like, I thought that's what this all was, like the way Devin was doing stuff, the way Amber and Nelson, like people in the mix, it wasn't personal. Real, it was personal because it was impacting their games, but it wasn't like you're a horrible racist person or anything like even close to that. And it was just like the game.
You're dancing across landmines here, Brian, but you're doing it great. You're doing a great job. Thank you. I don't quite know 1,000%. I don't know that I share your feelings about that 1,000%, but I get what you're saying. And like, there was definitely an energy in this episode of like, this is in the game. I mean, I think the Amber stuff, which you flagged, is like maybe the exception to it of like, I feel bad for Amber at this point because it is personal. But like, yeah. It did leave the energy of like, all right, well, you had to draw that line, so I have to draw this line. And like, we're going to walk out of here and not like hate each other for years. We're like, this is the way the chips are falling in the game. And that's something that's very uniquely challenged because these people get to play season after season with each other. So some seasons they'll work together and some seasons they won't. And it definitely feels slightly more just inside the bounds of the game this episode. Right. Like even with betrayals, it's like, all right, well, we're not going to get into a Twitter war and Gus and Josh it up at the reunion.
Exactly. Chalk it up to Gus. Exactly.
You know, it's very interesting. I think Devin is maybe the most interesting player this episode, despite not actually being in power. Do you feel like he feels safer to sort of split from the vets, knowing that at the end of the day, like his partner being Tori still gives them some relationship? Like, it's not like he's like fully like, will Jordan and Anissa ever nominate them no matter what Devin does is sort of my question.
That's a good point. Devin's partner does give him I think the most flexibility. Tori's connection with Anissa, Tori's kind of just overall demeanor, like most people like her, she's in a good stance with other people. Tori, so Devin is able to maybe maneuver more than others, but I think like Devin's not being like inconsistent. Like his whole stance of wanting to go after winners has been like his mantra for years now, so it's not even like this is like a new thing that he's doing. He's just able to kind of navigate it maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not definitely not inconsistent with his whole sort of like ethos and approach. It's maybe a bit inconsistent with what we've seen in the first half of this game where he like gets in bed with bananas and starts this like vet thing. But this episode felt more true to Devin, like how he approaches the game, than the first half of the game did.
And honestly, maybe it's because things maybe switch. I think maybe Devin felt more isolated in the beginning, and then just how the game has developed and he's build bonds and how, you know, other rookies and stuff have kind of fallen off the wayside. He can make these moves now and go after Bananas. He doesn't feel as reliant on Bananas when, you know, Johnny and like that rookie crew was kind of calling the shots and Devin was more on the outs, and now they're all pretty much gone. And like whoever's left is maybe more willing to work with Devin. So now he's like, okay, I feel a little more safe without the rookies going after me, and I could feel I could work with Jay and now don't feel like on the bottom of that group when Jay had so many other options. So now he's a little bit more room to maneuver.
Definitely. And this conversation with Devin and Tori in the beginning, I think, is really interesting. And something that to me makes Devin like a top tier, like not top tier, like challenger in terms of like, oh, he's going to be in the top three, like physical guys or likelihood of winning. But in terms of like people I want to see play the game for exactly the reason we're talking about, like he's willing to play. And what, to me, Tori's ceiling, and granted they have different motivations, because Tori can show up more reliably in a final than I think Devin thinks he can. So he's got to play more in the game, and Tori can play like the sort of quote unquote honest game and get to the final and perform. So fair enough. But I do think like a ceiling on Tori is that she still feels like this draw to play some sort of like quote unquote ethical game, which is just ride with her friends and make bad decisions.
So do you think, is Tori playing this up a little bit, like playing up the Devin's the deceitful one, the manipulator, I'm just trying to like go along for the ride, I don't want to do that stuff. Do you think she's playing that up just to like build into Devin's hand to kind of fit into like their characters that they're supposed to be.
Huh. I thought you were going to say, do you mean their characters like for TV, or do you mean like,
yeah,
that like the way that leave and survive this?
The way they're like, the way they're, I think she's smart enough to know based off what questions they're being asked to professionals, like how they're going to be presented. And it's clearly like Devin's going to be like more the manipulative strategic one. Tori's like reticent to go along with that and wants to be more play nice. Like, do you think in reality, Tori is like, want, like, is the more of that reticent and wants to play nice, or is she like wants to like go down the Devin route of manipulating it? Because Tori hasn't won either. Like, she really wants to win too. So I don't buy that she's not willing to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would guess, and I used to follow Tori on social media. I don't anymore. So I'm not that plugged into like her out of game personality now, but that's certainly consistent with her like out of game personality in the last like X years that I used to follow her. And I would think more that she's definitely interested in winning. She's definitely interested in it at whatever cost. And she's happy for Devin to be the one taking the fall. I don't know that it's so much the edit as much as it is plausible deniability when she returns in the next game, right? Like, she's the one who says, like, it's really hard to come back from getting a reputation as a snake. So I think mm-hmm. she more is, like, maybe it's the second step of the, like, meta thought about the edit. But she's sort of like an MTV darling. I think she'd be more worried about coming back in after betraying her friends when that's sort of her main strategy. But mm-hmm. it's fascinating that she has that snake confessional because, like, not only is Devin the one who pounds the drum the hardest against people being snakes and, like, blows up their game because of it, but he also has, like, really redeemed his image as someone who is completely not trustworthy. Now, maybe this season's going to, like, reverse it, but I feel Devin's done exactly what Tori said is hard to do.
Yeah, no, Devin really has come full circle. He was kind of more the Jay spot where no one would trust him, and now he's kind of come all the way back around. So it's shown it can be done.
But that's what I was frustrated this episode, and then tried to like immediately be like, Zen, relax. This is good gameplay. Like, it is so frustrating. Hot take, hypocrisy is so frustrating to me, which might even be slightly hypocritical of me to say, but like, it is so genius that Devin is consistently putting people on blast for doing exactly what Devin does. And nobody is saying that. Like, why is nobody saying this to him? Like, the Michelle confrontation, the Amber, like, it is so maddening that he is able to, it's like Cody and Survivor getting someone voted out for having the same job that he has. That is Devin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and that's not like that abnormal, right? Like, that's like a very, I think it's a pretty common thing in like society, right? People project out things that they don't like about themselves that onto others and hate what they're doing. Like, that's,
I don't need you to hold a mirror up to me, Brian.
I think it's like, you know, not to get all political, but that's also the very Trump thing. You know, he calls out what people think he's doing. It's like a very common thing that I think people call out, right? So,
like, where is like, I don't know if people are gonna watch it back in a reunion, but it's like this season more than ever. It's like, you know, oh, Big Brother can't be trusted. You're working with these people. You're against the veterans. Amber's like talking shit about me. It's like, you're only caring about this because you want to throw her in. Anyway, everyone knows this. It's just, whew, it was getting me hot mm-hmm. watching it in not a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, big breakout episode for Amber and Chauncey this week. We get probably the most pivotal scene in the entire episode here with the conversation that Chauncey has with Jordan. About wanting to build a bond and sort of striking a one-day-ish deal or maybe even a multi-week deal for him. And, you know, this conversation is very costly for Jordan, for Chauncey, I should say, as it goes later in the episode.
Okay. What is your interpretation of this conversation? Like, what do you think Chauncey and Jordan walked out of here understanding?
I think for Jordan, he walked out of it being like, I have no interest really in protecting this new guy. I have other people I need to protect, but if he wants to protect me, sure, that sounds great. And I think Chauncey came out of it thinking, oh, I have now a strong guy that is willing to look out for me and won't say my name.
Yeah, like, because this later comes as like Nelson saying, like, I heard my cousin's sister's mom's brother's best friend mm-hmm. told me to tell you, looked at you wrong. And then I thought you said that I'm going to take out Jay's allies. Now, we saw an edited version of this conversation, but I had the same reaction that Amber had, which is like, in what world would that make any sense? When I saw the Jordan Chauncey conversation, my interpretation was very similar to what you took from it, which is like, Chauncey, I think, making a good move to be like, that was Jay and Michelle. I'm working with Jay and Michelle, but I wouldn't have come for you. And I'm not intending to come for you because they came for you. So I'll ride for you. Continue to work with Jay and Michelle, but like, I'm not going to put you up just because my allies did. And Jordan says, mm-hmm. okay, well, like, I'm still going to be coming for your buddies. But if you're not going to put me up, then I'll consider that. That is a completely reasonable deal and is not at all to me Chauncey saying, yeah, let me help you get Jay out.
It's not, but it still points to like the difficult navigation that you have to have when you have no agency and no kind of built up trust in this game where, you know, if this was someone else that Nelson had such a longstanding relationship with, he might give Chauncey the benefit of the doubt, but he clearly doesn't. So because it can be twisted in a way that could make him look bad, he's able to believe it. So when you're, that's what just makes this game for rookies so challenging, because you don't have that longstanding history with people that they'll be willing to believe you or take your side, as you know, you don't have these 5, 6, 7 year back relationships. So for Nelson coming in, of course, he's going to side towards what Devin's story is. He's much closer. He has like a built in trust with him, and he doesn't have that with Chauncey. So the story is able to be spun and manipulated in a way that Chauncey's going to be made to look bad.
Well, but that's a perfect thing to bring up, because while he doesn't have a Chauncey, we get right before this conversation with Jordan Chauncey is a conversation with Amber and Nelson. Like, you know, now later Nelson does something, admitted that like self-described as like stupid by telling Amber, like, you're not in my MySpace top 8. Like, you're not in my top 4.
Right.
But like Amber has no one and is like, I'm so happy I have you, you and Darrell, who was my partner on my first challenge, and you are the only people I trust in the world. And I'm so glad we're working together. Before Nelson has power, there's no reason for her to just blow smoke. Like, she's riding for Nelson. So that has to, or you would think that that would buy Chauncey some like positive goodwill, but even if it doesn't, it's like, and Nelson just got so played in this episode, because mm-hmm. it, like, Amber's reaction at the night out is perfect, which is like, who cares what you think he said? In what world would we say that? Because that would be us. Like, we are Jay's allies. Like, why would we ever say that?
What's funny with Jay is like, this is like kind of a very similar situation with him and Jack, right? Like, Jay and Jack are close, but Jay's partner got tripped up thinking that Laurel was coming after them, but it wouldn't make sense because Jack and Jay would have been pretty close. And then it ends with them going after each other. And it's like basically very similar vibes here, where Amber and Nelson seem to have a good agreement, but like the partner got a little bit involved and didn't trust the partner. And then things blew up and now they're going after each other. You know, it's these new standing relationships didn't really last.
No, it's a perfect parallel comparison, because it is like, if you told me Nelson and Nerys are going to win and Darrell and Shorty V are going to go out at the hands of Amber and Chauncey, I'd be like, mm-hmm. did they not get to pick their people? Like, was it a really random draw? The algorithm is
bad? I mean, we basically got like a copy and paste confessional of Amber to start this week being like, I feel so good about Nelson. If Nelson were to win, I would feel safe. Yeah, I think we got that exact same confessional 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago with Jack being like, I feel so good with Jay. If Jay were to win, I know I'd be safe for that week. We got the exact same thing and the exact same way played out.
And I think another frustration for me this episode is like, I got really excited when I saw Devin, Jay, Nelson later in the episode talking, and I liked their A plan and I even liked their nominations. So I was like, ooh, mm-hmm. like, this is good. Like, we're finally going to like take a strike. And it's not even a full strike. It's like Devin is coming into it. It's like a new collection of like misfits is exciting. And then like we have an outcome similar to the Laurel and Jack. I mean, they didn't go home. I can't even remember who went yeah. home. But like,
it was the rookies, like, and Colleen, right?
A little air out of my balloon.
Yeah. I even found myself agreeing with some stuff Nani was saying, which is like, you know, kudos for her coming up with good strategic points. Look at her.
So fucking rude. Who are you? Who are we? Let's talk about the day out, the night out, daytime, Darty. Do people still saying Darty? Youth culture is still saying Darty?
I think so. Sure, why not?
If you had offered me $1 million, I don't think I could have told you they were in Buenos Aires. In fact, hearing the episode stunned me.
No, I had no idea. Never know where they are. Unless TJ says it each week. Yeah, they were in Buenos Aires. They're at a overlooking, as Darrell points out, overlooking a cemetery of politicians to kind of spice up the mood. That's fun.
Yeah, they were really using the word politicking like a lot. Like that is always like something that people talk about in the challenge. People used to talk about politicking in the challenge. But yeah, I feel like they said politicking like more times than they said vendettas on the season of Vendettas.
Yeah, I think it's been more. I think it's been more said than even Ride or Dies. So this could have been the challenge 38 politicking.
The politician, and it's like Ben Platt is involved. Okay. It made me feel better because, you know, we came into the season not sure where Darrell would go. I think like he sort of goes home before he goes anywhere, but it made me feel less bad because like even Bananas has no freaking idea where Darrell's gonna stand this season.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of said it himself. Darrell comes in, doesn't really talk game, but doesn't mean he's not playing the game. He just does it kind of his own way, which has been the Darrell mantra, you know, for the last 15 years. He just plays it more straight face. You know, he's not going to lie to you. He's going to go and try to keep the strong people around, go after the weak people, and go keep his friends. And that's really it. And there's not much else to Darrell's game.
And then here, I think he does put a lot of his chips and eggs in Shorty V's basket. I just love saying Shorty V. That is such a funny
name. It's great.
That is just the best.
And it's so sad that it's going to be gone after this week. No more.
I mean, we'll still be saying it. We'll carry on.
Of course. Of course.
This clip of, I don't know what I'm saying, clip, Fessel and Casey, it's like, what was the point here? You know, it was sort of in the beginning, before we get to the daily, I was like really trying to read the tea leaves of like, what's going on here besides like the obvious Amber Nelson confessional, but then I would have had to believe that Nelson was going to win another daily. So I wasn't quite sure how that was going to play out. But it's like, in case you forgot, like here's Fessel and Casey renewing their commitment to each other.
Well, you know, we had to make sure people remember that Casey is in the show because we're definitely not going to remember her partner's in the show. So we have to at least get Casey in it. But I did actually like Casey's take on the season, which is kind of just like our, I feel like what things that we've been saying is that, you know, there are clear groups, but a lot of the groups are like interconnected with other groups. So it's really just more like your true core that's going to kind of define it. Like we even saw it here where like Nelson wanted to go after Bananas, but felt conflicted because, you know, he felt close with Nani. And that's kind of been like a compelling or, you know, returning theme. I don't know what the right word is, but each week where they have someone they want to go after, but like they might be pretty close to their partner or your partner is pretty close to their partner. So it's not as clean of a shot as you might want to take. So I think it's kind of good because I feel like usually around this time, we kind of get like that confessional where it's like highlighting each of the groups and they do like the, you know, the little notepad and the images popping up on the screen of like where everyone stands. But here it is very interconnected and it's not a clean line that you might normally see.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's also interesting from Fessel's perspective here because he says, like, look, I've got like my people and I let my performance speak for itself. And I don't know if you could like feel my eyes getting lodged in the back of my head on that one, but and like that's my game. And it's like, again, like I do think the beginning of this episode is sort of like an exposure of different people's like ceilings, perhaps. Like Fessel is sort of more on the Tory side of things, which like I can play a clean, loyal game and get to the end and like muscle it out, hopefully. But it is, I think, a limitation on Fessel's game. Like, why wasn't Fessel in the conversation with Nelson Jay and Devin? Like, he has a limit to his social game. And I just don't think you can, like, get to a, like, GOAT status challenge player like Fessel sees himself as without being willing to step out of your, like, best friend alliance, particularly in a season mm-hmm. where some of them aren't there, and, like, mix it up. Like, he's very lucky that, well, I don't know if it's luck or skill to have made really good best friendships who are also on the challenge, but he's lucky that he can really rely on Casey with, like, little to no work.
It is interesting, though, because I actually think this was, I don't know if it was an intentional move by him to stay out of it, because, like Nani, I don't understand how Fessel was not part of this mix. Not only because you would want, Nelson would want to go after him just as a strong competitor, but as also Nani points out, Fessel screwed over Nelson horribly so not too long ago by tossing himself into Hall Brawl and taking him out pretty late in the game. So I don't know what the connection is that Fessel is bridging for Nelson not to go after him. Like, is that, like, just now completely water under the bridge between them two? I thought it was pretty, you know, unrepairable with the way that betrayal went down.
Interesting. It's not impossible. I still, like, my gut tells me, like, when I see them or when I don't see Fessel in, is like, well, Nelson is cool with Fessel. I mean, I think he apologized. Excuse me, that Fessel apologized and Nelson is, like, pretty quick to forgive. But who knows? Like, maybe that aside, it was really more of the strategic decision of trying to protect both pairs that they put in. Mm. And if you put Fessel and Mariah in, maybe they're less predictable of, like, what they would do. And so maybe, like, the unpredictability helped.
I get it. It just feels so weird that they would be, like, in a neutral stance. It's like either things would be forgiven and now they're, like, back to really working together, or they're not forgiven and they should be going after each other. So it's just so bizarre to see Fessel not in the group with Nelson, Devin, and Jay, but then also not being targeted. Like, he's just, like, a neutral non-entity in Nelson's mind. And it just feels like such a weird stance for them to take, even, like, I thought, like, they each kind of thought they close they were, or Nelson, how close Nelson thought he was to Fessel, and then it kind of blew up, and now they're just, like, a nothingness, which is just so bizarre.
Well, if you put in, I mean, I'm gonna assume it's not a nothing, and it's just an unanswered question that's, like, the answer is there and we're not seeing it. I think some people have complained on Twitter that, like, the challenge has not done enough to, like, show actual fights that have been happening in the house or, like, those kinds of relationships. So I agree, it's frustrating that we don't know the answer. I assume there is an answer. I mean, I'm happy to be wrong on that, but let's say, all right, so if the plan, as we understand it for nominations, is Bananas and Nani are going to get voted in, we want somebody who's going to beat Bananas and Nani going in. I don't know that Mariah and Fessy are the ones for the job, but even if you think they are, who are you replacing in the three teams with Fessy and Mariah?
I mean, unless they're thinking, like, the pairs are going to get split up, I would not mind going to a final with Jordan and Anissa. I don't know why there's such, like, a huge target. Like, Anissa, as Jordan is starting to see, would be a huge roadblock to them winning a final. I would much rather take out Fessy and Mariah, where Mariah, we don't really know how she'll do in a final. We think Fessy would do pretty well, but I think the potential that Mariah could have in a final would almost outweigh what we know Anissa can't do in a final. That I would rather take out them than Jordan and Anissa.
I agree. I think Jordan and Anissa screwed themselves by overreacting to the Jay Michelle decision and now have become unintentional mortal enemies of Jay and by proxy Nelson. So I don't think it's really a long-term game decision. I think it's a short-term. If they somehow win a daily, which is not impossible, we're getting put up next to our buddies Jay, and so therefore we have to take them out. Plus, they can take out, if the decision is based on, as we're led to believe in the beginning, against taking Bananas and Nani out, then Anissa and Jordan are a team that could achieve that in a certain elimination. For sure. And also, you don't want to face Jordan and Anissa in an elimination if you're put in at some point. But I agree, long-term, right. I would definitely, like, Jordan and Nisa would be number one on, not number one, but high up, top four, since that's such a top number. I'd want to see in an elimination. But okay, let's say you take Jordan and Nisa out of it and you want Fessy and Mariah to go in against Bananas and Nani. I think Narisa is right when she says, if you take a shot at them, you better not miss. And Fessy and Mariah, to me, are not a guaranteed win against Nani and Bananas. Like, I think I give the edge to Nani and Bananas, probably. And then I think the draw stuff, but like otherwise the draw stuff stays intact. So I think I just took us down this rabbit hole that probably didn't need to happen. I'm giving maybe too much strategic credit to Narisa Nelson, where I think even if you don't like Fessy, if you want Bananas and Nani out, they made a good decision. They just didn't execute on that plan.
Clearly. Definitely.
And I think, look, and Nani did make some good strategic comments this episode, and we know you're going to call them out because you were wowed by them. But I do think that once you're in the position of saying, well, somebody else should have been here instead of me, like Nani did, like Anissa did last week, that to me is a losing argument. Even though you're right that like there is reason, if your argument isn't, we're close, we had a deal, I've protected you, I will protect you, and your argument is just somebody else deserves this more than I do, like that is a losing argument.
Right, because there's nothing they can do at that point. You're not trying to keep yourself out of that spot. You're in that spot now that you're trying to keep yourself out of going into elimination or set yourself up to be saved, for sure.
And I don't know if that's on the Kyle's drinking game chart, but that is like such pure entitlement. Of like, I'm not mad that you came for me eventually, but you didn't come for me in the right order with the right people.
Right. You didn't do it how it should be done.
But all right, I guess we can go to the daily.
Yeah. Peaking Blinders. You have to, another puzzle solving daily. One partner, so you race up. One partner has to balance one-legged on a beam, which will release shades, which will reveal the puzzle answer key. The other person will have to memorize. They run back and have to solve the puzzle.
Yeah, when TJ first pitched this as memory and cardio, I was like, mini final? Upon first seeing the challenge, I was like, all right, Devin's got to be in the consideration for winning this, given the memory, the feats of memory strength we've seen him achieve in past challenges. But no, Nelson and Nerys pull it out.
Yeah, and to TJ is very impressive delight. He couldn't stop raving about both their efforts. First, Nelson's initial sprint out of the box, he was super impressed by. Nerys's brains coming in strong. They both did great. Both did great.
Yeah, TJ's coming for the Emmy, you know, best host. He's got to put in a little more work. So he's giving more hosting.
Yeah, well, he just needs to do some duck impressions and, you know, get the Jeff Probst level. So getting close.
Anything else to say about I really like was like, okay. that's my official response to the challenge. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. I didn't mind it. I didn't have a lot of takeaways. I enjoyed the daily. I thought it was pretty compelling. It does still sting a little bit when there's no last place, because it just takes some of the extra incentive when you see like Veronica really struggling. There's just nothing really extra there. The care is like, oh, okay, they're just not going to win this week. All right, move on to the next. There's just no extra take there. But I thought it was an entertaining enough challenge, pretty close. Tori and Devin were in the mix again, but didn't get the win. But good for Nelson. Two wins this season. Look at him go.
Now, Banana, I mean, this came up last time with Bananas and Nani, and people have been tweeting about this a lot, that, like, the vets, none of them actually wanted to win because it's like you show too much of your hand. Billy, how much do you believe that? Like, do you think everybody is throwing it? Is that why Nelson has taken two wins out after such a serious drought?
I do think there's some validity to it in the early going. I just think now we're getting, I mean, it's only episode 7, but like with how many people you have to nominate, we're kind of getting down to it where it's like almost to the point where if you don't win, you have such a high likelihood, unless one of your really close allies win, you're going to be in the draw. Like there's not that many even teams left where, unless like for Casey and Nani, if one of them win, they know they're going to be safe. But outside of a few other teams, like I think at this point, you kind of have to win. You kind of know who's coming after you anyway. and you want to set yourself up to get out teams you want to get out. So I think it makes sense, like episodes 2, 3, 4. But now that we're getting down to it, I think it'd be pretty stupid if people were still throwing it just to avoid saying people's names.
Yeah, I mean, we see it happen this week. Like, I think lines are really starting to get put down. But should, there's no asterisk on Nelson's wins, what you're saying.
No, no asterisk. Clean wins.
No asterisk. Both. Format encouraged at least half the teams to not try.
Yes, no. Completely clean. 2 wins. Season leader in wins. Nelson T.
Did you say Nelson T?
I don't know why I said it like that. Nelly T. I don't know why I said that.
Nelson T. That's amazing.
Nelson T.
That's the T. No, the Nelson T. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's accurate.
It's yeah, it's time for the lead.
Brian mm-hmm. T. Like in the intro. Intro, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's going to sustain me for the rest of the weekend. Nelson T. Okay, sorry. You were saying, I don't know what I was saying.
I don't think I was saying anything. So this is where Devin really starts to lay right after the win for Nelson. Nelson basically turns to Devin and is like, help me, what do I do? And Devin really starts to lay on the not trusting Chauncey and Amber duo and wants to try to start steering the boat towards that direction.
This is where I was first in, where I was like, okay, Jay and Devin are, you know, very similar players. They have similar, like, physical limitations. They have great, like, strategic and social games, but also sort of limits on how much people trust them. And seeing the two of them work over Nelson to what I originally thought was to Nelson's best interest, I was in. I was like, these three, they're my new triangle. I'm rooting for the three of them. Love it. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm still on it. Cause then when Nerys and Nelson have, I think, an excellent strategy, clear target, clear way to execute. And then they go on to have the best interrogation I think we've seen this season. Like, a case is made for having interrogations in this episode. And then it all goes to shit. But I like was really high on the way this strategically was working out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a strategy that we've seen play out. I think we also talked about where with how the format of this draw is, it does make sense to throw in a couple of your allies that you think will keep each other safe to, you know, set up a 2 out of 3 chance that you can get your target in. Like, normally with a draw, it's pretty random and you have no control over it as the winner. But here you can have some control. And I think, you know, you can set it up in a way where they try to do here where Darrell and Amber would save each other. And he would set up the Bananas and Nani Jordan and Anissa elimination. But you do need to have, like, you need to do it delicately. You need to understand that the people you're putting in to save each other would are still being put at risk. They're not going to be super happy with this plan. And you need to, like, lay it down calmly and smooth it over well. And it doesn't, even before things really blow up even further for Amber and Chauncey to go in, even if it worked out this way, they were still losing Amber and Chauncey, or coming close to losing Amber and Chauncey after this, where I think you said at the top, like, it doesn't make any sense for Nelson just to flat out admit to Amber, like, you're not in my top four. I think there's even a way to spin this where he's like, I do trust you so much, and I trust you so much by putting you in here to make sure this power move has to happen to get them out. I'm sure Amber in the back of her head could be like, that's complete bullshit. Obviously, you don't trust me that much. You're putting me at risk. But there's a way to at least try to spin it to salvage that relationship.
No, I agree. It's hard to do worse than what Nelson does in this conversation. But, you know, at the same time, Amber was born tonight. She wasn't born last night, to quote the great Boss and Rob. But I think here's why I love the picks. Because even if you F up, and you burn Chauncey and Amber and you don't finesse it, where are they going? Like, if this plan stopped at the end of this, like, you know, Bananas and Nani are going to go in. I'm sending you guys in because I want you to pull the dagger and save Darrell and vice versa, blah, blah, blah. Let's say it's already too little too late and Amber's pissed about this and you burned her. What is she going to do?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Nerys says at the end of the episode, right? She was, after they voted in Amber and Chauncey, Nerys is like, sure, they might be pissed if they come back, but who really gives a crap? Come after us. We're ready. So
they're fully prepared for that, and it's a fair point. Like, Amber and Chauncey are coming back with zero allies, basically. And if they win, sure, Nelson and Nerys may be going to elimination. But I think, you know, they can probably handle pretty much anyone in elimination, given what it is. So I don't think they should be too overly concerned anyway.
Now, we don't give a fishy here. Like, Stephen Fishback gives a strategy award for, like, the best player of the episode on Know It Alls. If I had an award to give, I think a lot of people might give it to Devin. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but some people might give it to Devin. I would give it to Bananas and Nani, because I think the performance, the 1-2 punch of Bananas and Nani in this, Nelson gets taken on a ride by Devin, but he really gets taken on a ride by Bananas and Nani.
You don't think Casey and Kevin should get it? You don't think they put in good work?
I mean, it is nice that Nelson says, like, I don't want to put them in because I don't want Nani and Casey to go against each other. So just by existing, she did maneuver out of the elimination.
And honestly, people do need to get over that, because the numbers are dwindling, that you can't be putting up your allies down the road just to, like, have Nani and Casey not go against each other. So people need to start getting over that pretty quick, because otherwise it's really going to start burning some people if they keep trying to play nice. But Bananas and Nani did pretty well. I think also what they did well was stay out of it a lot, even like at the fight at night, right? Bananas just like in his bed chilling and not getting in the mix and doing sometimes what Bananas does is really start to instigate even more and then risk have the hate turn on him. I think just staying out of it was a great plan and something we don't normally see from Bananas too often, but here it worked very well.
It's that 100%, because, you know, like, you know, we saw the opposite of this with like Jordan and Issa last week. They get themselves to be the vote when they weren't going to be. Here, Bananas and Nani were going to be the vote. They stay cool. They don't get angry. As you're saying, they stay out of it. But also, they give a pitch that's, like, perfectly curated to like, pull on Nelson's heartstrings of, like, logic and strategy. Like, yeah, okay, go for the top people, but I haven't taken a swing at you. Like, you owe me. We were in power. We didn't put you up. That means absolutely nothing. But to Nelson, that does mean something. And then Nani, who he already didn't want to be putting up, is like, you're, like, a brother to me, and, like, I will not forget this. And that is something that... direct hit absolutely would destroy Nelson. And I just thought, like, setting that, planting that seed and walking away from it was, like, beautiful, beautifully done.
Yeah, I kind of almost wish we had at confessional after the way it played out in the zone and then being completely safe. I wish we almost got, like, a smiling confessional, double confessional, them to each other being like, how the hell did we just get out of that? Like, how did we do that? Like, I almost wish we had that confessional in that moment for the two of them.
It was a masterclass, truly. I agree. That would have been fun to see. But I'm screaming at my TV. I'm like, do not buy this, Nelson. You know, it's like Nelson is just such a good boy. You know, like he just has a heart of gold. And Nerys, I think, has really great strategic chops that she demonstrates this episode. But like, doesn't know enough, I think, in terms of experience to like see through this kind of a plea. And the plea is really directly made at Nelson. So it's sort of like, you know, whatever. And then she ends up with her own shit with Amber. But like, I mean, I guess that's another question is like, how much credit is owed to Bananas and Nani and how much credit is actually owed to just like the way things blow up in the house with Devin and Amber?
It's probably for sure a little bit of both. But my also question is like, is this even worth it for Devin?
No.
Like what? Like why not just stick? Like he sticks his neck out so far to get out Chauncey and Amber, where if they just did the original plan and they got out Bananas or Jordan, like that's a good move for him. Like and they're in a good spot. Like you can play this Chauncey and Amber card later if you have to. I don't know why he, other than just because he loves doing this stuff and he gets it all time. He should put this on like the way Scally did it for his cover photo. He should put the quote of Bananas calling him Wes, like put that on the top line of your resume. Like you can't ask for better publicity than that. Like he just loves doing this. Like maybe that's what he just loves manipulating, but I just don't see the benefit really for doing it.
Yeah, this goes back to the sort of like your show question about Tori is like, is this something that Devin genuinely can't help? His personality, his ego, whatever is such that like if he finds out that he wasn't aware of something, that somebody he considered a distant ally is maybe suggesting that he could be not trustworthy. Like, that's crazy. Or even if, let's say, like, it got blown up and he thinks that Amber's, like, gunning for him, that he, like, even though he has all of the power, that he's in, like, the main majority, and he even got Nelson to nominate this person before he knew this, like, then he just can't let things lie and he has to take it on because he's got, like, some ego thing. Or is this like Nelson performing for, not Nelson, Devin performing for the camera?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's like, you know, if you wanted to break up Chauncey and Amber with Nelson, I feel like he already did the job based off how that interrogation went down, right? Like, clearly Amber and Chauncey were, or especially Amber, was very hurt by Nelson putting her at risk. And like, that relationship was severed. Like, there was not, they weren't going to, like, you know, have a stronger bond than Nelson and Devin would have had. So, like, the work is complete. It's done. And you get to keep them in the game and go after a couple big heavy hitters. So, I just, unless he just felt like now compelled to really push it because, like, kind of like you said, like how it blew up even more in the house. But at that, I don't know, to try to walk it back maybe a little bit also. Like, I just don't see him sticking his neck out so far. Now, not only is Amber saying it and not only is Veronica saying it, but now the whole house is pointing out that Devin is like the big snake and the manipulator and is the one that can't be trusted and is kind of the head of the alliance and is like the number one target. And now it's like putting his game at very big risk.
It's weird too, because he makes a swing this week to like work with the sort of not rookies, but the rookie adjacent vets. And you'd think he'd want that swing to connect and not to like get distracted by fighting with Michelle. Like, that's the other part, the Michelle of it all. So like, just to keep track. Okay, Nerys, which credit to Nerys. Nerys pushed her agenda. If Nerys's goal was, I mistrust Amber, I don't trust Amber, my gut is telling me, despite the fact that she has nowhere to go and no reason to lie, my gut tells me not to trust Amber. So I'm going to plant a seed that's going to grow into this huge fight. Good on Nerys for accomplishing that agenda. Now, I don't agree that it was the right read, but whatever. So Nelson hears, Nelson hears that Amber is saying Devin is a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson, I feel like Nelson's motivations have to be because he's like feeling bad about putting Amber in. Like, he's trying to justify his own. He lives by a moral code. Like, well, if you were snaking the alliance, then like you were already getting me before I got you. He goes to Nelson. Yep, so I can understand that. He goes to Devin. I feel like it's pure ego. Like, I think Devin just like is erratic here and explodes. He then goes to Michelle. Like, maybe he doesn't think he has a relationship with Amber where he can really take her to task. So he says, you know who is responsible for this? My once a week ally, Michelle, who's working with my other ally, Jay. And she's going to take the brunt of this problem.
Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre because also it's like, Nelson was pissed that Chauncey was willing to go along with Jordan's plan to go after Jay and Michelle, and Nelson is choosing to ride with Jay and Michelle. So to support Jay and Michelle, he's supporting Devin blowing up Michelle's game. What? It's very bizarre. Things get very complicated and confusing here.
And I was dying, because this is when I was like, I've got to respect it because it frustrates me, when he's like, talking to Michelle and it's like honestly talking really down to her. And I was really proud of Michelle. Like, I think she ends up making a bad game move by going down with Michelle Amber ship. But like, you know, Devin was kind of gross. He's like, what did Amber say to you about me? And she's like, you know, she like asked why you weren't appearing, you know, she's like raising some eyebrows, but I'm with you 100%. And he's like, no, Michelle, I don't like to be lied to. And she's like, don't try to intimidate me. Like, you like, I don't know. Devin is like two toddlers under a trench coat to me. Like, stop acting tough. Like, we're adults and we can just have a conversation vibes. But when he says to her, that's not working together, it's working together when it's beneficial. You literally were on a week-to-week basis with her. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, like, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. It was very gross. It was very manipulative. It's kind of crazy that he doesn't get called out more for what he's doing in this conversation. And poor Michelle, this girl, she was back-to-back weeks, finally, like, catches a break with the person who wins is not going after her, and she still comes out of this week looking in a worse position politically. It's crazy. The show can't catch a break.
I was really frustrated by this. And it's like, you know, Devin's at his best when he's going to confessional being like, I'm going to go stir the pot, or like, I'm going to go like, you know what, I've changed, like, this is really fitting my agenda and I'm going to do it. And we get that from him. Like, he definitely has like causes shit in the house. And I believe some of this was like, when it becomes a big public fight and Nelson and Devin are like airing shit out in front of everyone, like, I think that's Devin's effort to be like, I'm not turning against the Alliance. I'm not a snake. I'm exposing the snake. And this is my justification for why I did turn on my Alliance or whatever. But I wish we got a little bit of a confessional, like, saying that.
But I'm honestly, like, I still love Devin for this stuff, because this was incredibly entertaining, and it was messy and it was sloppy, but it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun watching this all go down and blow up. And oh yeah, I wish Nelson made better game moves for himself, but it was very funny that someone else made him not.
No, that's the joy of watching the show. Like, you've got to be irritated. You've got, like, I don't mean, when I say like he's a hypocrite and I'm annoyed, it's not like, so I turned my television off. It's right, like, so I went, hoo, like I'm in the dog pound. I regret that. Okay. But let's go to the zone. Speaking of regrettable decisions, I don't know. Nelson, Devin's an evil genius. Bananas and Anna are geniuses. Like, I how Amber and Chauncey end up going in is just like beyond me.
And Nelson needs to stop giving speeches, man. I mean, he should have known how after the first week went down. Like, this was a horrible, like, these people are family. I think it's Vin Diesel. These people are my family. I can't do this to anyone. I hope this good woman will sometime forgive me. Like, just say the name, dude. Just rip the band-aid off. That was horrible. Really bad. I couldn't even tell if it was a, I thought it was a confessional at first, and then I realized he was like talking out loud to everyone. Like, he's really saying this to everyone? Just stop talking.
Darrell later says that it gives kudos to Bananas for just ripping the band-aid off too. Like, Nelson needed to do that, which is like, you're in, sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, so
Before we get to that, I just do want to say, because I could feel the audience screaming at me, but like, I guess the other thing which you flagged that Nelson was mad about and that I got distracted in the Amber, Michelle, Devin of it all is that conversation with Chauncey, which, like, I guess if Nelson really does believe that Chauncey threw him under the bus to Jordan, that feels like a bigger betrayal. Like, my friend working against me is worse than my enemy working against me. And thus the target changes from the enemy, you know, Bananas and Jordan and Anissa and Nani. But I just have to say again, for the record, I didn't interpret Chauncey's conversation to be that level of turncoat.
And it was kind of, it's very, again, very similar to the Jay thing. I think by the time it got to this point, it wasn't even that bad of a game move because of how splintered this relationship was. That it's like, you know what? Sure, throw in Chauncey and Amber because they actually are definitely going to be coming after you. Like, it was horrible looking back on it 30 minutes ago, but the fact, or 30 minutes ago in terms of the episode. But once you get to this point, you might as well do it because you just had this big blow up fight. You're not going to be working together. They're definitely going to be coming after you. So you might as well just throw them in. You might as well do it.
See, and I don't agree with that with Jay and Michelle either, because, like, are they winning? Like, they have to get power. So, like, if I have the opportunity to, like, legitimately have a chance to take out Bananas and Nani, who I know are not working with me, versus, like, a shot at a team that hasn't been winning. But, you know, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there was no, at that point, there was no good answer, because then all four teams are coming after them and no one's really, like, okay with them. So they were kind of in a, you know, between a rock and a hard place.
Rock in their own place. They made the
exactly. They did. So maybe we could also put some of the conspiracies away. I know Bananas and Nani picked first, but I think they went to the other end of the sword draw in terms of where they were lined up to pick the pick that was the safe. It wasn't directly in front of them, unless now people want to say, well, of course they wouldn't do it in front of them the second time. They had to put it all on the other side. So I don't want to hear that. Poo-poo that.
Maybe a producer told them it's in the third spot. No, I'm just kidding. I agree. I definitely think it's not rigged. I still do maintain that I wish it was a magician's handkerchief coming out.
Mm-hmm.
That would be great.
Sure. That's it. There's nothing nothing further there.
I did like Nadi somehow taking credit. Like they were able to pull the safe sword because it shows how well they're working together. Like if they weren't working together, they would have not been on the same page to pull the correct sword. It's a great spin.
Well, that's true.
I love that. I love that for Nani. Good for her. But this was, I mean, it was a great way, as you said, they were kind of right to the point, Nani and Bananas to save Jordan and Issa. It is still amazing looking back on where Jordan and Bananas were, you know, 10 years ago when we first started this podcast, of Jordan flipping over all the cards to go after him, and now here they are saving one another, coming eliminations. Pretty crazy how the challenge works over time.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's absolutely wild. And a really unfortunate draw, no pun intended, for Darrell and Shorty V, because, like, I do think there's a world that Bananas would have saved, Bananas and Ani would have saved Shorty V and Darrell with a different matchup, like Horacio and Olivia or something. Like, it just, I think in that case, they have to save Jordan and Anissa there, and I don't think Darrell and Shorty V would fault them.
Yeah, I mean, let's say Jordan and Anissa were voted in, right, and Chauncey and Amber were there, I don't see Bananas and Ani saving Chauncey and Amber over them, so I think they could have easily been saved over them.
Which is as God and Nelson originally intended.
Exactly.
But
yep.
Alas, it was not to be.
It was not. But Deep Web was meant to be, which was the elimination for this week. You had to crawl through a bunch of rope knots and, you know, obstacles to collect eight puzzle pieces to solve a puzzle at the end. And that was it. Quick, a puzzle piece to solve a puzzle.
I don't love that someone's, like, body size could hinder them from a... Like, it's one thing, like, on Survivor, you have to, like, dig under a log, and, like, certain smaller people will have an advantage because, like, size can be an advantage or a disadvantage, whatever. But if someone is, like, physically not able to complete the challenge because they don't fit in the, like, where they're supposed to go through... I felt a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth for Shorty V here. No, for the challenge not to her.
Sure. No, I totally agree. I didn't really like this elimination that much. They're almost getting too puzzly, the challenges. It felt like, I don't like how puzzly Survivor is. Like, they have puzzles every once in a while for the challenges, fine, to create some equalizers, but I'd almost rather more eliminations not be puzzles than be puzzles, and I just feel like we're getting too many puzzles come elimination time. I'd rather almost just feel like a rope obstacle course than, like, you know, going through collecting bags and just, like, getting through the obstacle course first and then that's it. Let's back away from the puzzles for a couple weeks would be nice.
We did get some great confessionals from Jarrell. Like, I was dying when Jarrell was just like, look, she's blessed with all of that, and it's okay, Shorty V. Like, I just love that.
There was a very odd moment where they were, like, doing the puzzle and they panned off and Veronica was just kind of, like, just looking over the side and just, like, chilling. I don't know if they had to, like, take turns who was solving the puzzle, but I feel like she was, like, taking a break. And, like, I feel like the puzzle in and of itself is, like, a break where you're just kind of looking, but, like, she was just, like, staring off at the crowd. I was like, is she looking at an answer key or something? I didn't know what she was doing, but she was just, like, looking off into the crowd. I was like, okay, Shorty V.
I mean, it's... A quiet Shorty V. I mean, it's interesting. Like, the edit did no favors to Chauncey and Amber, but, like, maybe this is, like, it seemed to take forever. So maybe Shorty V was just like, I've got to look somewhere else. I've been at it for hours. But, like, what does the world have against Amber that I'm missing? Because, and I feel like we've talked about this before, she's been definitely, like, annoying on some seasons, or, like, annoying is not the right word. Like, there have been some seasons where I understand it a bit more. Like, this season is just, like, she's living her best life. She's with her boyfriend. She's doing her own thing. She's playing with the right people. She's been loyal to those people, at least that we've seen. And, like, the editors hate her, too. Like, she wins an elimination with her boyfriend, and they're like, this is taking forever. Like, what?
How, like, shorter did you feel that they put up the timestamp? Like, right? If they're talking about, oh, we've been here for an hour or 6 hours or a day, how do they not put up the timestamp to show exactly how long it is? Unless it really wasn't that long.
I mean,
and like
you
said, they didn't want to, like, it was probably like 15 minutes, and they just didn't want it to not seem as bad. But yeah, no, it's so bizarre.
the Amber stuff. It is. It's like how Anne Hathaway was like universally hated in like 2005 and like never made any sense. It just felt like she was like hated by everyone and no one really knew why, but she was just hated. And now she came out of it. Now everyone loves her again. So maybe like Challenge 47, Amber will be loved. But right now, Challenge 38, everyone hates her. Very odd.
It's so frustrating. Justice for Amber. I feel really bad for her. And this is like the personal part. It's like, people just hate her and she can't make En-ROADS. She's got nowhere to go. She's constantly trying to be friends with people. Nobody is nice to her. She's won a freaking challenge. Nobody wants to work with her. Right. I just don't understand.
Yeah, like I think it was even this week or last week, they were called dead weight. I think Devin called them like they're just like dead weight just hanging out. Like Amber's literally a champ. Like she dominated a final. It's crazy. Everyone hates like, her. It's like everyone. It's everyone. It's rookies. It's vets. It's people from the real world. People from the Are You the One. People from international. People from like people from the moon will come over and be on the next season, and they will be like, Amber, who is this girl? Get her away from me. Like it is unbelievable. I don't know what she does. It's like the opposite of like you see someone that's like so charming and like everyone falls in love with them, and you don't understand it. This is like Amber just has a repellent, and I don't. It's crazy.
And it's so ironic because her Big Brother season was unfair in a different way, and that like a terrible man was obsessed with her. Like it's like she can't just find the in between. Not her, but like the universe will not allow her in the normal realm.
Mm-hmm. She does have the for you, Chauncey. Amber. Very upset. Chauncey was giving big Michael B. Jordan feels, especially his Creed version of Michael B. Jordan. I felt a very similarity there.
Okay, would you believe I thought the exact same thing? I totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we're just jealous, but Amber's dating Michael Jordan.
I'm jealous. Mm-hmm. Griff wants to know let's memorialize Amber and not Amber, Shorty V and Darrell. Griff says, can you explain what Darrell is bringing to the TV show? He's been on so many seasons recently, has been very forgettable on all of them.
Not wrong. I kind of think
this is completely wrong.
I think they're more men. I think they're more all stars at this point. I think that the proper version, it's like this crop of people, it's like past them. Like I know it's sad, but like the game has moved past Darrell and Veronica. They're just not in the mix really that much anymore. They're not connected to these people. You can't like if they bring back a lot of different people from the old school seasons, which would be great, but that's all stars. Like, that's not challenge proper anymore. I don't disagree with the take.
I disagree. Shorty V is the best thing to come out of the season in a long time. I think Darrell is, like, still giving intrigue. I think Veronica played a really interesting social game. I think she had repeatedly some of the better, like, conversations at the interrogation. I think Darrell is, like, a fun wild card where people respect him. They fear him physically, sort of, still. But, like, they have no idea where he's going to go, which I think isn't something we have a lot of now. And that's my case for Darrell and Shorty B. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed seeing them. I was sad to see them go. But, like, were they going to win this season? No. But is it sort of like a Jemmy? You know, like, there's, like, value to me in having, like, a couple wild cards, even if they can't win. It's not the same value they used to have, but I'm still enjoying it.
Fun fact for this week, by the way, outside of Chauncey and Amber, the other three teams, all nominated, were the three teams that got added late.
Oh, that is a fun fact.
Yeah.
I'm testing my range in my headphones to get a pecan square. This is some new girl, old guy shit.
Go for leftovers.
Well, you inspired me. You said you got a cookie.
There you go. Boom.
Well, now I'm eating. Don't tell Rob.
Is it good?
Delicious. I made it. Of course it's good.
Amazing. You were talking a big game I saw on Twitter for your Thanksgiving. You're like, or maybe that was that, maybe that was Dr. Amanda.
I could have, it was like, Dr. Amanda. Said, like, it was incredible.
Like, oh, it was Dr. Amanda. Yeah, it's Dr. Amanda. She's like, I crushed the Thanksgiving cooking game or something like that.
She was like, it is unbelievable how good I am at cooking for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I mean, it's a power move. It's a power tweet. Sure, it's true.
Should we get to the drinking game?
Yeah, so Kyle Picard enjoying Thanksgiving. There's no drinking game this week.
Well, I've already told you when there was entitlement, so that's really all you need. And great nicknames. There were a couple. There was like Shorty V, and then there's another one that he calls her, but I forget. I think I wrote it down. Let's see. Searching. Control F. Shorty. Queen V. That's the other one.
Queen,
yeah,
see the
call of that.
Do you have anything?
I'll do. We had a moment this week, and I think it'd be cool, pretty cool if they do it again. But anytime you, if they flashback mid episode, they flashback to the Chauncey Jordan conversation. Any flashbacks mid episode, I think it'd be pretty cool to see. So hopefully they bring that back for editing.
Okay. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, I'm going to say when someone gives credit to their partner, a la Nerys is the best thing to happen to me this season, which Nelson says about Nerys. Speaking of
friends. It's giving thanks.
I know you. It's giving thanks. That's good. Did you come up with that?
No, I saw people mocking other people posting that. I was like, if your Thanksgiving caption has anything to do with like it's giving thanks or any variation of that, you need to get more creative. People hate on people too much. People hate on things before they even become big enough to like hate on them sometimes. Internet's a mean place.
It's just the man who was like, and not he had some decent ideas. I was like, Lord.
Well, I mean, Nani's been around for a while. Giving thanks, I feel like, is, you know, I think giving's new, isn't it? Is it? I feel like giving has been in the vernacular only the last like 6 months or so.
Are you kidding me?
Like, it's giving whatever. Isn't that fairly new?
It's giving elderly, Brian. Where have you been? We've been new on It's Giving. One of the best like, It's Givings ever was on Giving Tuesday like 2 years ago, and somebody was like, It's Giving Tuesday. It's been that Tuesday. Long? Yes.
It's Giving's been around for like pre-COVID, It's Giving's been happening.
Oh, I wish I wasn't eating right now because this would be a great clip to clip.
Sorry. It's Giving.
Now Rob's going to find out about this. It's Giving Snitch. It's giving unprofessionalism. All right. Speaking of unprofessionalism, speaking of giving thanks, what's 24 minus 7?
17.
Okay. So you are really...
I'm so curious where this is going.
...of the five-star reviews. But would you believe that they continued to pour in?
Crazy.
So now I'm
giving reviews.
Here we go. Miss Hawk, Ron's Lee, Brendan B19, Josh Adams, Jay Batistella, CJ710, Monster Handler, Jeff, put me on Survivor, please. H010203, Kaylin_2, Dancing Lady emoji. Surrounded by love emoji, blue heart emoji, and Lulrich 3333. Thank you. This was so exciting to see that they didn't just fall off from last week. So we appreciate it. If you want to join the fun and give thanks, if you want to be giving thanks, you can go to robhiswebsite.com/challengefeed.
Love to see it. You can subscribe there too. You can follow me, CohenBrown_. They can follow you
at Last Week.
We'll be back next week for episode 8. Until then, have a good one.